Here's a list of all the crazy things that millennials are accused of ruining for everyone else.
Money-saving tips from the savvy reporters at MarketWatch.com. This is Money, Markets, and More.
I'm Katie Hill.
And I'm Quentin Fortrell. You're listening to Money, Markets, and More, where we talk about the most fascinating personal finance stories of the week.
Ripping on millennials, it seems like
doesn't ever end, does it? Millennials can't catch a break when they aren't spending all of their retirement funds on avocado toast.
Oh,
Katie,
God. Oh, God.
They are destroying the movie industry. They're binge watching shows and putting death knell in sitcoms. They're even single-handedly bringing about the end of church-going in America.
Oh, my God.
They are getting a bad rap, but this is sort of a tongue-in-cheek story. This was a story on MarketWatch by Carrie Paul, who we have in the studio. Here's a list of all the things millennials have been accused of ruining. Carrie, so you have written about some... I remember you wrote about the death of the dinner date.
I did, and then I noticed somebody on Twitter was sort of making a list of all of these silly articles that people had accused millennials of killing things in. And my article made the list, which I would like to say that I did not necessarily accuse millennials of single-handedly killing the dinner date, but...
They got lumped into it.
Yes.
Nevertheless. So we have Erin Lowry on the line, and she's the author of Broke Millennial, Stop Scraping By and Get Your Financial Life Together on the line. Erin, this is obviously not news to you that millennials have been accused of the ruining everything from the 9-to-5 work week to...
Thank God for that one.
Cruise lines and napkins. What do you make of this bad rap that millennials get?
I think it's a time-honored tradition for the preceding generation to look down and crap on the next generation. So honestly, I think we just kind of have to take it on the chin and keep going because truthfully, most of the stereotypes, there are a few things that are slightly rooted in a little bit of truth, but for the most part, the world is not the disastrous place that many of the boomers in the media seem to be trying to target us making it.
Excuse me, can we back up to the part where you said millennials are killing napkins?
Curry. Millennials are buying paper towels instead. Nobody's buying a napkin. And it goes along with the fact that a lot of millennials aren't eating dinner at home.
Right.
They're eating out a lot more, and so they would rather buy... I mean, I know I personally don't buy napkins. I have a paper towel roll.
So you don't go on dinner dates, and you're just using paper towels?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm a Generation Xer, and I feel like Grandpa in the corner here because I have a drawer full of, like, really beautiful napkins that I have to say I never get to use anymore because nobody has a dinner party in New York because everything's all the kitchens are too small. But that's a separate conversation. So the 9-to-5 work week, millennials are demanding more flexibility. Carrie, you say in your story, nearly 40% of workers can now work from home one day a week.
Amen to millennials.
Yes, that's a great one. And you say focus groups, Americans in their 20s and 30s are too cynical to reveal their hopes, dreams, and buying habits to advertisers directly.
Not to mention, social media has created almost a free focus group for companies to mine information.
Right.
Why would they give it up?
The most interesting one to me on this list was that millennials are killing sex. 15% of millennials had not had sex before they turned 18. Is this right, Carrie?
Right.
But then older generations were doing it much more. Explain what is going on there. Millennials are having less sex or they're waiting longer? What is happening?
Well, you know, so many different studies say different things. You hear so much about hookup culture and millennials are hooking up with everyone and ruining romance, but then they're also ruining sex. So I listed those all in a row because I thought they kind of contradicted each other and I thought it was kind of a funny... note
right.
that millennials are somehow killing sex, relationships, and marriage.
Explain them.
But they're also, you know, killing romance because they're having too much sex. So, you know, it's obviously a little contradictory, but people are getting married later.
Right.
For sure.
They're waiting to have sex
and that's
longer.
Been
apparently, yes.
That has been going on for longer than millennials have been. Most millennials have been alive. That trend, right, Erin? That these are like... Some of these are long-term trends that are just getting pinned onto the lapels of the nation's 30-somethings.
18 to 34s.
Right.
Yeah, I agree with the marriage specifically. I think that there's a combination of factors, but especially as women were encouraged and allowed to a degree to start focusing on our careers, going to college. You know, the MRS degree, if you will, became less fashionable and people actually focused on a real career. And that's part of the reason that we see people are getting married later in life. And it's not still that mantra of going from your father's house to your husband's house. There's much more of a focus on people establishing themselves and waiting a little bit longer to feel, you know, further along in their lives before they start to merge with somebody else.
Huh. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
Make sure to check out the Future of Everything podcast, because the future is closer than you think. All new episodes each Friday in June. The Wall Street Journal. Listen ambitiously.
And we're back with Carrie Paul, reporter for MarketWatch, and Erin Lowry, who writes the Broke Millennial blog and is also the author of The Broke Millennial, Stop Scraping By and Get Your Financial Life Back Together. So department stores, Erin, that's been another big one. Again, it's hard to pin it just on millennials, but, you know, Macy's and JCPenney, as Carrie writes in her story, have shed stores and employees. And the mall rat thing does seem very Generation X to me.
I also think, why are we blaming millennials and not just blaming the internet?
Because they both came along at the same time, right?
Good point.
I mean, certainly the trend towards online shopping is not because of millennials. It's because it's now an option.
Right. Which is why I sort of love this list, because it's really like taking...
It's really
poking fun at, you know, the culture of like...
Millennials.
These are like the things that millennials are accused of ruining.
Like ruining the wine cork. Who wants to uncork a bottle of wine?
Well, you, Carrie, you write that millennials make up half of, consume nearly half of all the wine in the U.S.
Yeah, so millennials still love wine. They just like drinking it out of screw-off tops and cans and boxes, apparently, which I would like to say that canned wine might be a little tacky.
Right.
Yeah.
But I would be okay with doing away with the cork.
And that's according to the market research group Nielsen. There's one thing here I really like, that the diamond industry has struggled to woo millennials. And I really feel like, Erin, this is a good one if it's true, because I feel like that whole Diamonds Are Forever was really created for...
It was De Beers. It was a marketing campaign.
Yes, only in the last like generation. And it's I like that it had become such a horrible social signifier and social pressure to have that literally that weight hanging over you if you wanted to get married. What do you think about that, Erin?
I have a lot of feelings about the whole engagement ring and diamond industry, which is probably an entire podcast we could do at another time. But I am thrilled to see that millennials are bucking the diamond industry trend, because, like you said, the whole Diamond Is Forever De Beers campaign was just an excellent marketing pitch. It has nothing to do. It's not rooted in this massive tradition that goes back centuries. It's quite recent. And the other thing is, it's tied into a bunch of very archaic, very upsetting trends, one of which, just very briefly, is that women used to be able to sue if their, quote, virtue was compromised before they were actually married and they were jilted at the altar. So part of also the diamond campaign was that it was almost like a down payment on your virtue, for lack of a better term. So that to me is so horrifying. And also this idea of, you know, these stats around, oh, it's 3 months of work that you need to pay for it. I mean, for Pete's sake, so many millennials have student loan debt and have other things that they're interested in doing. Why would someone want to wear, you know, a mid-sized car on their hand as opposed to putting that to work elsewhere?
Right. And Katie just showed up her ringless finger.
Ringless finger. I'll tell you what. I have an apartment and I get to travel and I do not have a diamond ring, and I am happier for it, I think.
I really liked the tweet that I embedded in that section of the story where The Economist tweeted, "Why aren't millennials buying diamonds?" And somebody replied, "I work at a grocery store."
Right.
Like, please sue us, millennials, because we're drowning
get
in student
real.
Loan debt.
And some of the other things briefly you mentioned were running. It's, you know, millennials are not running as much as older generations did at their age. Golf, that's another sport I don't think you can blame millennials for killing, but it's definitely that whole three martini lunch and the golf after the golf course business deal is really on the way out.
And golf is expensive, too. You can't afford that if you're dealing with student loans.
It's so expensive, and we have a whole other story on that on MarketWatch as well. Soap bars, Carrie. Can you explain that one?
Please tell me they're bathing.
For some reason, millennials are bathing, but for some reason, millennials think that, according to this study, that soap bars were less sanitary than liquid soap, because they think if you're washing yourself with the soap bar, then bacteria remains on the soap bar, which actually isn't correct. So it's kind of a contradiction of how the millennial generation is. They're much more savvy towards eco-friendly things and things like that. And so it actually is kind of a contradiction in that.
And finally, face-to-face interaction. Millennials, 4 in 10 interact more with their phones than they do with their parents, friends, children, significant others, or coworkers. A 2016 Bank of America study found. I got the subway to work this morning, and I'll tell you what, Aaron, I think everybody is interacting more with their phones. I don't know what
We're
Bank
on
of
it
America.
Right now during a podcast.
I know, Bank of America. I'm sure there's something to be said for their methodology, but Aaron, what do you feel about that?
I cannot say I disagree. You know, I think that study came out recently that it's an average of 5 hours a day that millennials are looking at their phone. And frankly, I think that that's probably low because you also have to account for all the texting, communicating, and, you know, streaming things on your phone and consuming other content. And like you said, going to work on the subway if you're not driving, hopefully you're not on your phone if you're driving. But, you know, just we're addicted. It's really an addiction, if nothing else. And so I'm not at all surprised to see that statistic.
Aaron, what do you think is the worst moniker that millennials have to deal with in terms of the bad rap they get?
I would say either lazy or entitled. The narcissism one doesn't bother me quite as much, because I do think that there is a level of delusional narcissism that it takes to become an entrepreneur and to start your own venture. And I've kind of liked seeing that part play out. But both lazy and entitled really irk me, because I really don't think our generation is lazy.
Wow.
And I'm really tired of hearing people say that.
Wow. And I have to say, I love that a certain amount of delusional narcissism is necessary for our entrepreneurial culture. I love that. Carrie, what about you? What's the worst myth about millennials as the person who wrote this story? Oh, tongue-in-cheek, you wrote the story, actually.
Right. I would agree that this idea that millennials are entitled is the most irritating one for me. And the one tweet that I embedded in the story was, you know, people saying, kids have it too easy these days, said the generation who could buy a house on a wage from unskilled work.
Yeah, well said.
So, you know, I think, I mean, there's always going to be debates between generations, but when you look at the challenges that millennials face financially, we're in a much different place than the people who are calling us lazy.
So true.
Wow, that's a great place to end. Carrie Poole, reporter from MarketWatch, thank you for writing this really wonderful story. And Aaron Lowry, the broke millennial blogger and author, thank you so much for joining us and giving us your time and your wisdom. That's all for today. We'll be back next week.
Follow The Wall Street Journal on your favorite podcast app. Search WSJ on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Google Play Music, Stitcher, and any Amazon Alexa device. The Wall Street Journal. Listen ambitiously.